The food trend is obvious to anyone who attended the recent Natural Products Expo in Anaheim. Just add protein. This trend in natural foods leads us to ask, does protein powder do a body good?
Welcome to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with your host, Michael Olson. And now get ready for 1 hour of What's Eating What Radio.
Hello out there. You are tuned in to the 1418th edition of the Food Chain Radio podcast. Or hey, perhaps you're among our friends over there in Lyon who are tuned in as we stream along on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com. Well, whoever you are and wherever you are, welcome. I am Michael Olson, your host for this hour of What's Eating What. Folks, I attended the recent Natural Products Expo in Anaheim to see what I could see about the trend in food and, of course, to find stories for the Food Chain Radio podcast. When I last attended the expo a few years ago, the dominant trend among the 4,000 vendors was soy. It seemed like every vendor of natural foods in the hall had somehow managed to infuse their natural food with soy. Soy was here, soy was there, soy was everywhere. This year, I did not see a single mention of soy among the 4,000 vendors of natural food products. Gone! Most of what I did see, just about everywhere, had been infused with added protein. This with pea protein, that with hemp protein, and over there, whey protein. Yes, it was pretty obvious to one and all that the dominant trend in natural foods is to just add protein. That protein powders are now taking such a prominent role in the nation's diet leads us to ask, does protein powder do a body good? Who better to ask than Sally Fallon Morrell, who is the founding president of the Weston A. Price Foundation, co-author with Mary Enig of the classic Nourishing Traditions, the cookbook that challenges politically correct nutrition and the diet dictocrats. And she is the mother of four and grandmother of five.
Thank you, Michael. Yes.
Sally, welcome back.
My supreme accomplishment.
Yeah.
You know, it's great to be back. We were just saying how many times I've been on your show. It's quite a few.
Yeah. Over the years, been quite a few. And what always attracted me about you is that though we track the trends in food through the years, you're the person who stands opposed, in essence, to those trends, because you hearken back to a one way of doing things, and that is the nourishing traditions of the deep past, and how we as human beings grew up learning what to eat and how to eat. And as such, you kind of stand in opposition to the trends that we see today. So how does nourishing traditions stand in opposition to these trend-setting dictocrats?
Well, we definitely stood in opposition to the soy, and I think we had a lot to do with its disappearance because they were gangbusters. Everyone was going to be eating soy, and we pointed out that the Asians considered soy to be toxic, and that they only ate it after it had been fermented for a long time and only in small amounts, because it's very hard to digest and it's full of plant types of estrogens. So we've kind of put this out there on the airwaves, and lo and behold, it just became sort of this common knowledge that soy was not a good idea. When we talk about protein, when you go back and look at traditional cultures, it's very interesting. You find this in Australia, you find it among American Indians, you find it everywhere. They had this rule that they never ate protein, they never ate meat without the fat. And if they were forced to do so in times of famine, they called it rabbit hunger, because all they could eat, all they could hunt was available to hunt was rabbits, and rabbits are very lean. And they didn't eat the rabbits because they thought it was better not to eat anything than to eat lean meat, lean protein. And there is a reason. I always love to find a scientific validation of these beliefs. And there is a very good scientific validation. When we eat protein, the liver releases vitamin A into the bloodstream. And as you know, vitamin A is my favorite vitamin, Michael. So anyway, the reason that happens is because you need vitamin A to metabolize and to incorporate protein into your body. And if you're eating lean protein, lean meat, protein powders, you know, egg whites without the yolk, skim milk, skinless chicken breasts.
All of which was a great trend for many years.
Oh, yeah. And they're inedible. But anyway, what happens is your body uses up vitamin A and it depletes you of this really critical nutrient that you basically need for everything. And when you add fat to the meat, the yolks, the butter and the milk, the butter fat and the milk, you put butter on your meat or eat the fat, you're getting the vitamin A that you need to use that protein. And the interesting thing is you actually don't need a lot of protein if you're getting adequate fat with the protein because it's all used efficiently. What happens with protein powder is completely different.
Going back to vitamin A being your favorite vitamin, why is that?
Well, Dr. Price found that levels were very high in traditional diets, and vitamin A has been the object of demonization, shall I say. Pregnant women are told not to eat foods rich in vitamin A. We're told that we can get vitamin A from plants, from vegetables, which is very, very difficult to do. So I always like to challenge, you know, what I feel is very wrong, this campaign against vitamin A. And the proteins, a high-protein diet, which is really the rage now, the, you know, sort of carnivore diet, lots and lots of meat. But the protein powders being added to everything, and even these protein drinks being promoted as complete meals. You don't have to cook. You just have this protein drink. I think it's a disaster. It's very depleting of vitamin A, and you need vitamin A for everything, for all your glands and hormones. You need vitamin A for your lungs to work.
So it's essentially the vitamin that makes everything else work.
It absolutely is. It is the fundamental vitamin on which all the rest of them depend. The other problem is these protein powders are very hard on the kidneys. And if you have a kidney problem, that's one thing they'll tell you is don't eat protein powders. But it might be too late by then. You've kind of damaged your kidneys. See, when we eat protein, it's in the form of meat. And you know, when you eat a piece of meat, only about 20% of that is actually protein. So it's not concentrated like a protein powder that your kidneys really have to work hard to process.
So without an adequate supply of vitamin A, which typically comes embodied in the fats.
That's right.
We're getting straight protein that our body really can't quite manage without the vitamin A.
Yeah, and it's depleting your body of vitamin A. It's using up vitamin A very quickly. And the foods we get vitamin A from, they're not many in the Western diet. Butter is a wonderful source. Egg yolks, you know, cod liver oil, one of my favorites, and liver. And people don't eat liver anymore. So it's, and then the animal fats that come with fatty meat.
So it seems like many of the health tips being put forth over the years by such organizations as the American Heart Association mm-hmm. were kind of leading us right down the wrong road away from the nourishing traditions of our ancestors.
Exactly.
Towards something new and really untried. As it were, you know, as I was walking the halls of the Natural Products Expo, it's truly something to see. But what I kept thinking of is if Sally Fallon were to walk through the door, she would do a Jewish, she would do a Jesus in the temple, start turning over all the tables, because all of the natural foods being put forth were not really natural.
They're not natural. No. You know, Mary Enig and I did that a couple of times. We walked through this. And Mary was very tall and stern looking, and there was an interesting reaction to our presence there, and things kind of quieted a bit down.
Well, there were your people were there, mostly with bone broths.
Wonderful.
And they all looked as healthy as everybody wants to be.
Mm.
So it was fun to see that. Of being represented.
Well, it's funny you should mention bone broth, because bone broth is a wonderful companion to meat. Meat is very high in methionine, and one of the criticisms of meat is you get too much methionine. But when you have your meat with a gravy or a sauce or in a soup made with bone broth, you're getting a lot of glycine, which balances the methionine. So the ideal way to eat meat is, you know, a small piece of meat with a cream sauce on it. And there you've got your glycine and your vitamin A and everything you need to efficiently metabolize the protein in the meat.
So actually a pat of butter on the top of a steak.
Like the French do, yeah. Yes.
Makes a lot of sense.
It does. It does. Yeah.
Well, good. Yes. It was. So, who are these dictocrats? These trend-setting dictocrats that are leading us hither, thither, and yon without much.
The original dictocrats were the people who formulated the dietary guidelines for Americans, and these were the people who dictated, no, you should not be eating animal fats, no saturated fats, low salt, high fiber, mostly plant-based diet, and we're going to give this diet to children, also growing children who really need a lot of fat and cholesterol in their diets. And this was imposed on all institutional food, including school lunches, prison food, hospital food, and propagandized to the people. Well, I think that's come apart a little bit. People, you just can't eat this diet, Michael. I always say the puritanical foods of the dietary guidelines force you force you into eating a lot of junk food.
There it is. Mm-hmm. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Food Chain Radio program. Today we're taking on protein powders. If you were to take a few minutes to stroll through the Natural Products Expo, what you would see would be a lot of protein powdered food. And the question is, are these protein powders good for the body? And we have a noted skeptic of that fact, Sally Fallon Morrell, to join us today from the Weston A. Price Foundation. She is the founding president of the Weston A. Price Foundation. And so when we get back, we're going to go right after those protein powders. So stay tuned. We are back. This is the Food Chain, and we are talking protein powders, and which are the current rage. It seems like most all of the natural foods that come to us in brightly colored packages from far, far away have been infused with extra protein these days. How much protein do we really need?
You know, a very good question. We need protein. We need complete protein. We need the animal proteins. But we don't need that much. And the maximum would be 20% of calories. That would be for an athlete or a growing child, but most of us at our age, Michael, we need 10 to 15% of our calories as protein. And far better.
Oh, not much.
It's really not that much, and far better to get the bulk of our calories from fats. The fats nourish us, nourish our brain, support hormone production, and I also am concerned about this idea that we shouldn't have carbs. You know, we've gone from almost no protein dietary guidelines to this idea that we should just eat meat, and carbs are the bad guy. Mm-hmm. We do need carbohydrates. We need them for thyroid function. We need them for satiety. And you end up eating a kind of weird diet. Once again, I say these puritanical diets, the word I was looking for was pornographic. They force you into the pornographic junk food because you become so starving for carbs and salt and fat. So,
which is what you find a lot in of course, convenience foods. That's
yes.
What's put in them. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. In fact, the paleo diet people say yes. 2 days out of 7, you can eat all the junk food you want. You know. Yeah. Because you're craving it. I always say, you know, what's wrong with the diet we used to eat where you had meat, veg, carbs on your plate and butter on everything? That's the direction we need to go. and food is really good, and it satisfies our nutritional requirements, but it also satisfies our requirement to eat food that tastes good.
In nature, fat is the hardest thing to come by.
Yes, yes.
And that is what we need most of, I think, is what you're saying. We're only needing, you know, of one-fifth of our diet and our calories to be protein, meat,
mm-hmm.
Then the rest of it should be fats, because fats contain the vitamin A that makes...
The vitamin and the vitamin D and the vitamin K and the vitamin E and dairy fats, especially butter fat, contains arachidonic acid. All animal fats contain arachidonic acid, which is what we make endocannabinoids out of, our own natural marijuana that helps us feel good and happy. The other thing that's in butter is butyric acid. It's the only place we get butyric acid except by fermentation in the gut, and this is very good for digestive health. And finally, in grass-fed animal fats, you get conjugated linoleic acid, which is strong anti-cancer, has strong anti-cancer properties. So, again, you know, it's all getting back to putting our animals back on grass and eating the whole animal, eating the fats, eating the organ meats, making broth with the bones, honoring that animal by eating the whole animal.
And we turned away from that at the suggestion of the dietary dictocrats.
Yes.
Let's take the soy trend and ask what happened to it. A few years ago, it was a trend in Natural Products Expo. They put soy in everything, chocolate bars, everything.
Oh, I know. Well, the genesis of this is the campaign against animal fats, because if you're not going to use animal fats, you use vegetable oils, and soybeans are an oily bean. They figured out how to get the oil out of it and make it seem edible. It's not edible, but they made it seem edible. And what do they have left over? They have the residue, this high protein soy residue. And the idea was, we're going to make money from this residue. And they figured out how to make a white powder out of this gunky residue.
Chinese call it tofu dreg.
Tofu dreg. I actually found some documents in the Library of Congress. This was years ago when we actually still went to the library. And it was the notes and the report of the first soy conference. And what they said was, yes, we've got the technology now. We can make a protein powder out of the dregs of the soybean oil. And now the challenge will be to convince the public that this is healthy, and the way we're going to do this is sell it as a health food. It's right there in the report. That was their policy, to start with the upscale audience, consumer.
Get some influencers going.
Get some influencers going. And we, the Weston A. Price Foundation, were, you know, we were the first organization to say this is not a good idea. This soy is quite toxic, extremely hard to digest. When you feed it to animals, it causes hypertrophy of the pancreas, meaning the pancreas is working really hard to try to digest this stuff. And the interesting thing was, I was at my desk, it was in the evening, and I get a call from somebody in the soy industry who kind of started to lambast me and said, you know, you're telling lies. I said, just go to our website. Everything is referenced there. And he hung up on me. So, but I feel very proud that we started this and we started to alert people. And you know, Michael, so the soy industry was really a way of making money off the waste product of soybean oil. The whey protein is a way of making money off of cheese manufacture because 88% of milk is whey. In the old days, we fed the whey to the pigs and the chickens. Nice fresh whey is full of minerals. But then that's very impractical. You can't take tanks of whey all over the country.
Because now the industry is all fragmented. If you have the dairy industry in one section of the country, and
and pigs in another section.
So you can't haul whey like that. It's expensive stuff.
So they powder it at very high temperatures, and I want to read something to you. So a study in 2019, so a recent study, they looked at the effect of processing on milk proteins like whey protein. They looked at boiling, like pasteurization, spray drying, freeze drying, and microwaving. And you'd think that maybe freeze drying would be okay, right? But all four methods, including the freeze drying, and of course the spray drying, which is very high temperature, I'll read this to you, resulted in significant degradation and oxidation of the milk proteins. Fed to rats, processed milk protein caused damage in the plasma, that's the blood, the liver, and the brain, and adversely affected learning and memory in the rats. So these proteins, these dairy proteins, it's mostly whey protein, that are processed, made these rats stupid. Okay, so what happens when we feed these things to our kids, our growing kids?
And athletes and everybody else.
And everybody.
Trying to be healthy by adding protein to their diet.
And especially the whey proteins, which is the most common protein that's added.
So if it's, and what about all the other proteins?
Well, so.
I mean, everything now, when I was at the Natural Products Expo, there was pea protein and rice protein, protein, and so they figured out how to make protein powders out of everything that seems to be friendly.
Well, the pea protein, I think the problem would be anti-nutrients, oxalic acid, enzyme inhibitors. You know, when we cook peas or lentils or any kind of legume, you soak them and then you cook them. And they're inedible. They'll make you sick if you don't really cook them and neutralize the anti-nutrients, make them more digestible. I think a really good example is India, where they eat a lot of dal, which is lentils, and they're soaked, kind of fermented, and then cooked. Now, when you're getting pea protein in a protein powder, this hasn't happened, especially the cooking part. It's heated, but it's not cooked in water. So I think you're going to have digestive problems from these kinds of proteins.
And yet they are portrayed as being good for the body.
That's right.
And natural.
Yes, that's right. Well, it's the same techniques that the soy industry used to push the soy protein.
And yet you stood up in front of all of this and said, wait a minute, it's not true. They are not that healthy.
Yeah.
And you did it, I think you had truth on your side, whereas the other side had money on its side.
Yes, right.
And the truth eventually is coming out.
truth always. In the end, truth always comes out.
And yet we're in a place now where everything is being infused with extra protein. Do we need it?
And even worse, promoted as complete meals, you know, these cans of protein drinks, which also contain the sweetener and additives and flavorings and so forth.
Yeah, you have to make it palatable, otherwise people won't buy it again.
Yeah, I think these protein drinks make you very thirsty, actually, because they're... Now, I don't quite understand how it all works with the kidneys, but it certainly is a strain on the kidneys, and you would need water to flush things out.
Well, wouldn't you need to supplement it with vitamin A?
Well, absolutely, because these protein drinks and the protein powders and protein-infused products are going to deplete vitamin A. And guess what we make, what we need vitamin A for? We need vitamin A to make testosterone. We need vitamin A to make estrogen. Guys, you really want to be drinking these protein drinks? I just don't think it's a good idea.
Well, it seems to be doing the opposite of what everybody thinks it's going to do for them.
Yes,
instead of making you more manly, it makes you less manly. And
Could be, yes.
So the issue then is how does one supplement? A lot of people take these protein powders to build muscles and become manly and whatnot, womanly. But if you're not supplementing with vitamin A, you're actually doing the wrong thing. You're heading in the wrong direction.
You absolutely are.
So how would one supplement with vitamin A?
Is there a pill? No. It's called cod liver oil, and that gives you vitamin A and vitamin D together, and you need them together, and you need them with a third vitamin, vitamin K2, and that really only happens when we're eating food. So if you eat butter or egg yolks or animal fat or liver, especially poultry liver, you're getting all three at the same time. And that's what you need. And so these are real foods. It means instead of a canned protein drink for breakfast, you're eating bacon and eggs and toast with butter and, you know, a real breakfast.
Kind of breakfast we all love, but don't have time to cook. So there's a can right there. Grab it plug it down.
That's it. That's what they're promoting it as. But it's also good for you. That's what they say.
Is there a pill, a vitamin A pill, that can...
You can take cod liver oil in pills.
Cod liver oil.
That's fine. You wouldn't want to take the synthetic vitamin A. That is quite toxic. And the studies which show the toxicity of vitamin A were looking at foods to which synthetic vitamin A had been added. So you definitely do not want that. And it's just like... you know, things come in groups in nature, and if you eat a lot of vitamin A, you're going to be depleted in vitamin D. And just like we've spoken out very strongly against taking vitamin D supplements, because that depletes you of vitamin A and vitamin K. So you just can't fool Mother Nature. She gives you the complete package in the food.
Is that not the story in a nutshell?
Yes.
Trying to fool Mother Nature in order to make some money.
Yeah, right. Well, and to make money out of waste products is...
Yeah.
My daughter interviewed a man who had a cheese company, and he said he really didn't start to make money until he bought the big machine for making the whey powder and started selling the whey powder.
Which is where the money... Because that's... what we're looking for, a solution that's easy to pour into a cup, add water, stir, and there you are.
And it makes money, yes, right.
So, single-handedly, the Weston A. Price Foundation, Sally Fallon and crew, pretty much put soy to bed, because I didn't see it anywhere on the floor of the Natural Products Expo. It was a complete expunging of a dominant trend.
Very interesting. Yes.
Put forth by the dictocrats of diets. And it was everywhere, and now it's hard to find anywhere.
It's in a few places still. It's in Ensure, which they give to hospital patients. It's one of the number one ingredients.
But it's in disguise now.
Yeah. Right. And it's still in baby formula, although the market for soy baby formula has pretty much collapsed. But it's still there. You can still buy it.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Food Chain Radio program. Today we're with Sally Fallon Morrell, and we're taking on protein powders. We're tilting at windmills, and it's a lot of fun doing it when it gets right.
Oh, it is, yes.
Because we're learning how to build our bodies into real healthy, physically fit bodies, and doing it the natural way, which is not the same way as the natural foods way. So stay tuned. We will be right back. Welcome back. We are talking protein powders. It is said that if you follow the protein powder diet, you just might end up with rabbit starvation. How does that work, Nancy?
Okay.
Yes. You brought it up before, but I think it's really important to get this into our heads that if we eat real lean meat, we could end up with rabbit starvation.
Right. So rabbit starvation was the word used by the American Indians to describe what happens when there was a period when they didn't have a lot of game and all they had was rabbits. And the rabbit is very lean. There's absolutely no fat on the rabbit. And they would not eat the, even if they were starving, they would not eat the rabbit because it would make them die sooner than if they ate nothing. Because the lean meat depletes vitamin A. We need vitamin A to process protein, to process meat. And of course, they always preferred the meat. They preferred the fat. They hunted at the time of the year when the animals would be fattest. When they were hunting buffalo, they preferably killed the older buffalo, which had the big hump on the back, and that hump is all fat. There'd be about 40 pounds of fat in there. That's what they wanted. They wanted the fat and the fatty organs, like the liver and the marrow. Bone marrow is 90% fat. So this is always what they wanted in preference. They did eat the meat. They needed the protein, but they always ate it with the fat.
And that's always been my dream, is roasting a buffalo hump over an open fire out in the prairie.
And the aboriginals in Australia, they wanted the tail. They called it rutal, kangaroo tail, rutal. And that was where the fat was. In the Middle East, they had the fat-tailed sheep. So that the tail of the sheep was full of fat, and that was eaten with the rest of the meat and the organ meats of the animal. And, of course, the organ meats are where we get the vitamin A, the vitamin D, the vitamin K, all of these what we call fat-soluble activators. And just in a nutshell, the problem with these protein powders is they're going to deplete you of the three vitamins, especially vitamin A, that the traditional people, that Dr. Price found were the most important vitamins in these traditional diets.
Because it came to them in animal fats.
Yes, yes.
And there's always the story of the Alaskan Eskimo who lives on whale blubber.
Yes, right.
Being without heart disease, which is directly antithetical to the age-old diktat from American Heart Association, where you don't eat anything with fat, bad for you.
Oh, I know. That's the worst piece of advice that was ever given to us, and we just have this fear of fats. You know, another really good study was Malhotra in India, who looked at railway workers in southern India that were eating a kind of a vegetarian diet and oils, like sesame oil, and then the railroad workers in northern India who ate meat and had a lot of ghee in their diet. And the ones in southern India had about five times more heart attacks than the ones who were eating animal fats in northern India. So right there, very good population study that completely contradicts what we're being told.
Well, The West N.A. Price Foundation has done an incredible job of standing up against that heresy that we should not eat fats.
Animal fats,
yeah. But how do we, what do we say to the people who are using the protein powders to develop muscles? I mean, this is, it's almost a religion to them, the muscle building. And they believe they have to supplement with more protein because they're not getting enough protein to build muscles.
Yeah. So, well, they're also using anabolic steroids to build muscles, which in the end can have some very serious consequences like bone loss. But I wrote an article called The History of Nutrition and Bodybuilding. It's on our website, westonaprice.org. And before they had all these powders and the steroids and everything, what did they build bodies with? It was liver, oysters, and raw milk. And what's interesting, when you look at the strong men and the weightlifters from the past, they didn't look like the modern men. Their bodies were smooth. They didn't have the bulging muscles. Their bodies were really beautiful and smooth, and a very different look from the bodybuilders today.
So different fashion trend even in body.
Yes.
So what would you, as the nutritionist for traditional nutrition, what would you advise bodybuilders? How would you go about building your body?
Yes, well, I would do it with food. And
focus on your food.
Focus on the food. I'd eat oysters every day. I'd eat liver several times a week. I'd drink raw milk. You know, the bodybuilders drank a gallon of raw milk a day. I'd eat lots of butter and eggs. They typically ate 6 or 8 eggs for breakfast. They did it with food. And I think this is a much safer and healthier way to build muscle. And I have to say it's a much sexier look than the ripped look that we see today.
And for the rest of us, then, we do not need all of the extra protein that bodybuilders are requiring.
No, and it's dangerous. It's dangerous. It's hard on the kidneys. It's hard on hormone production. It's going to have all sorts of consequences. It's hard on the bones. It'll deplete the bones, yeah.
So we follow the same notion that we get the protein in our foods as well as the vitamin A in our foods if we eat right.
If we eat right, right. And I think what I've found, especially as I get older, is I don't need as much meat and I don't want to eat as much meat, but I sure do like that sauce on the meat made with the bone broth and it's got the cream in it. And I love soups. I think our bodies kind of tell us, you know, you don't need so much protein now. You're not building bodies. You're
maintaining,
feeding your brain with fats and protecting your kidneys from too much protein.
Now, that's something we don't really hear a lot about, is the relationship of fats and brains.
Your brain is full of saturated fat, full of cholesterol, and the saddest thing we're seeing today is the Alzheimer's and dementia in our elders, and it's not supposed to be that way. That is not normal to have a decline in mental function as we age.
Was that something that Weston A. Price found when he was researching these traditional cultures? Did he find a lot of mental decline as people grew older?
Not at all. He found all these communities had groups of elders. Foods that were easy to gather and prepare were reserved for the elders. But the elders had a very important role, and that was, first of all, the education of the youth. And all cultures are the same. The youth never listened to their parents, so it was other elders who did the educating. That's true in our own culture. It was true in their cultures. And they were the wise people of the communities and the people who carried on the traditions. And they had a very important role. They were very respected in these communities. But he has photographs of elders in his book, and they look terrific. And he never mentioned any kind of mental decline.
That's incredible. Now, not every environment has the conditions that support animal growth and development. And some actually have to rely on more plant-based nutrition, such as you mentioned in India, where we're eating lentils and whatnot. Where do they get their fats?
Well, in India, the fat is the butter fats and dairy fats.
Okay.
But, you know, I just read a book about the diets of the lower castes, the so-called untouchables in India, and they eat a lot of meat, not beef, but they eat lamb and goat. And these are quite fatty meats.
Fatty meats.
And they ate the organs. They made curry out of the liver and the kidneys and things. So, and then the upper classes, they had the dairy fats. They were kind of expensive. The lower castes did not eat so much dairy fat. But they had the ghee and then the fermented milk products. But, you know, Michael, we have far more land that we can raise animals on than we can grow crops on. Only about 11 to 15% of the land on the planet is tillable for crops. But a far greater percentage of our land is perfect for herds of animals, grazing animals.
And that would kind of require a rejiggering of our agriculture economy, as
yeah.
it were.
Yeah.
Wherein, you know, we're coming up with a new farm bill. I'm sure they're going to devote hundreds of millions and billions and trillions of dollars to support soy and corn and whatnot.
Well, they get subsidies. But there is one good thing in the farm bill, and it's called the Prime Act, which would allow what we call custom butchers, USDA-inspected, to process your meat and then package it so you can sell it within the state. And one of the problems that people raising beef and dairy cows have, small farmers, is you can't find a place to butcher the meat. And this would really solve a problem. So hopefully that's going to go through and the states will start doing this.
Hopefully that will find the light of day, but I suspect the four big meat processors that currently control the industry will have a say in that before it gets through Congress, so we'll have to see.
Well, it is in the final bill, so...
Good.
Fingers
that's
crossed.
Great news. That's
the
biggest impediment to good nutrition, is access to... good locally grown farmers.
So we ask people to take the pledge. People used to take the pledge not to drink, you know, but now we ask you to take the pledge to spend 50% of your food dollar on foods that have been locally grown. Keep your food dollar in the community, pastured meat, pastured chicken, raw milk, etc. And then you can spend the other 50% of your food dollar celebrating how small the world has become, and eat pineapple and rice and things that grown somewhere else.
Really simple. I have a similar one. It's called the 2x2 pledge. I pledge to spend $2 per day on local food. What is local food? Food with its farmer's face on it.
Yes.
I can see the farmer. I can eat his food or her food. Mm-hmm. And then the other two is to talk to other people into doing the same thing.
There you go. I like that.
And
yes.
So 2x2, pretty soon everybody will be spending $2 a day on local food and we'll get healthy and smart.
You know, we are not going to change this system of industrial food from the top. Too entrenched, they're too powerful, but we can change it from the bottom, truly grassroots, if we just start buying the local food. And the Prime Act and the in the agricultural bill will make that a lot more possible.
And it will turn a lot of land back to animals.
Yes, which is what we need to do.
Which is what we need to do. And that way we won't have to eat all of these protein powders that are infused in all of our natural food.
It's so-called natural food. It's the wrong direction, Michael, and I think you feel that instinctively. These foods are made in huge factories with lots of heat, chemicals, preservatives.
And the word denatured.
Yes.
What do you mean by denatured?
Well, in the case of the whey proteins, these proteins are extremely delicate, and they're totally warped and distorted, and your body says, what's this? I don't know what this is, and has to mount an immune response. In the case of the, say pea proteins and seed proteins, they're just not being prepared properly. They're not, it's almost like they need to be properly denatured, and they're not being in this processing.
Same as true with eating soy. It needs to be fermented before.
Yes, and the soy is so hard on the pancreas. And I wouldn't be surprised if pea protein wasn't hard on the pancreas also.
Legumes. Well, very simply, eat real food.
Yes.
Eat the fats.
Eat the fats. You need the fats.
And the meat. Together, and that way you get the real deal.
Yes.
All right. So,
and you get the vitamin A that you need to process that protein and to put it where it belongs in your body, in your muscles, and in your enzymes, and you know, anything that has protein in it.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. It's as simple as natural, real natural. There it is. Sally Fallon Morrell, always a pleasure to be with you for a little bit of time and to share your wisdom of natural, traditional foods and how we can build a better body using them instead of the alternative.
And to your audience, please go to our website, WestonAPrice.org. We also have a conference coming up in the land of the Diet Dictocrats in Washington, D.C. in October. At wisetraditions.org. We'd love to see you there.
And I would too. Thank you so much, Sally.
Yeah, you should come. Yeah.
Right.
Thanks, Michael.
You bet. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the award-winning Food Chain Radio Show with Michael Olson. And if your friends missed the show, tell them to log on the Food Chain page at metrofarm.com for a listen. Now, go out and find some food with its farmer's face on it and live.